shall we read a poem from A Light in the Attic.
Hello all, and welcome to A Shall We Read a Poem. I'm Russ.
I'm Lauren.
Well, my sinuses are not better, and I gotta go to the dentist tomorrow because now I have a bump on my gums.
Oh, God. What do you think the bump on your gums is?
So, I have a weird situation. My teeth are the worst that have ever been invented. And I have had one tooth that has had two separate root canals on it. And at one point, they went super deep. And the roots of that tooth, either through nature or man-made machinations, are now occluding into my sinus. And that is also where the bump is. And so, the simultaneous, I have a sinus infection, and now there's a big bump on my gums in exactly the same place
as
where I know that there's roots occluding into my sinuses.
Oh no, that sounds so bad. You're probably gonna, you probably then need a doctor's appointment too, because I imagine you have a bacterial infection.
Well, I don't have a fever and it doesn't hurt, so.
I've had many sinus infections though where I didn't have a fever.
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Oh God. Oh man, this is gonna be so interesting.
The bump's not getting any bigger though, so that's a good thing.
That's horrifying.
I also got my granddad's watch fixed up. Take a look at this.
Cool. What kind of watch is that?
This is his retirement watch. This is a Seiko chronograph. This one's from the mid-80s. And it has his name and his years of employment on the back. He worked for the same company for 42 years.
All right. What's the metal?
Gold-plated something.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought from looking at it.
These little guys are workhorses, though.
That's really cool.
So, how's life on that end?
Well, I was just thinking about your gum situation, and I actually had a conversation with my housemate this morning. She was talking about how she had all sorts of metal in her leg, and when we were like, yeah, Team Cyborg, and I'm like, I'm Team Zombie, because
Well, that's right, yeah, you have dead guy in you.
I have dead guy in me, because I had a gum graft. And
yes, I remember that.
To do the gum graft, they needed to use cadaver tissue, as they would say, for scaffolding. And that made my gums swell up real bad.
Maybe I'll get some of that. Dollars to donuts, they're going to pull that tooth and put a bridge in. That's definitely what's going to happen.
Well, I think if you have metal implants, you're Team Cyborg. If you have dead people in you, you're Team Zombie. And if you have an organ transplant from a living donor, you're a chimera.
Yeah, that's true. But then I have a lot of crap in my teeth, so I guess I'm Cyborg. Not an impressive Cyborg one, just boring.
Minerva insisted she needed attention right now, so she batted.
I saw you threw a ball just now.
It was a mouse, and she caught it out of midair. I'm so proud of her.
Is she needy?
Only when she wants something. I guess that makes... Okay. Oh my gosh. Hi. She is very insistent when she wants something, but she doesn't always want things. She doesn't need things all the time.
She doesn't seem like she'd be a needy cat.
No, not particularly. She won't ever let me use the bathroom in peace. She will sit there and rattle the door, and I have a sliding door in the bathroom, and I have no need to lock it. So she'll just like start slowly putting her paws in and waving it around and slowly opening the width of the sliding door. And I'm like, cat, please. This is really distracting and I'm trying to poop.
Well, there's our maladies. So I guess that means it's time to talk about what we're reading.
All right. Somewhat appropriately, today I'm doing Hinges.
Oh, okay.
If we had hinges on our heads, there wouldn't be no sin. Because we could take the bad stuff out and leave the good stuff in. And it is this wide-eyed person who has a very childlike face. And their head is split open just above their eyebrows. And they have like a door hinge keeping the two halves of the head together. And you can see brains, but the brain doesn't really look like a very solid brain. It really looks like someone just put a bunch of spaghetti in there.
Well, from what I understand, brains have kind of the consistency of butter.
But cold butter.
Yeah.
This is just like lots of the pieces are going everywhere. Like there are distinct pieces and they are kind of noodle-like.
Because nothing good will ever happen again and all I have are memories, I immediately call back on nostalgia. Do you remember the early 90s when Reach toothbrushes were a thing?
I mean, I still see the brand occasionally.
I remember in the early 90s, they had a commercial.
Oh, yeah. They were at like a slight angle or something, and they were like, this will make it easier. Oh, yeah. I kind of remember that.
Yeah. That was the entire selling point. They bent the handle a little bit, and it's like, now you can reach those hard-to-reach back teeth. And it's like, my mouth opens.
Yeah. Mine doesn't very much.
But this commercial was the flip-top head. Do you remember? I will send it to you this exact
second.
To clean your hard-to-reach back teeth, you can either get a flip-top head or get Reach, the clean teeth toothbrush.
All right, so this cartoon is this very, very minimally drawn human with a gigantic nose. And it's like, hey, if you need to reach your back teeth, you can either have a flip-top head. And the critter, well, the human-ish thing, completely makes their, like, they open their mouth to a 180 degree angle so that it's just a flat row of teeth.
Brushing one's teeth is not that hard.
No, and I guess maybe it was for people who are like me who have transmandibular joint issues and can't actually open their mouth very much. But even then, I can still get a toothbrush back there.
It's like a toothbrush is not a hard sell.
No, I mean, I can't open my mouth that much, but I use an electric toothbrush, which means that the head of it is small, but the body of it is large, and I'm still able to brush my back teeth.
It's like a Pez dispenser, but, you know, the spine just breaks in a different place.
Yeah, I guess you would have to, like, somehow like telescope the back of your skull into itself.
We did not need any of these things. Like, the fact that Reach toothbrushes, I guarantee they're still cashing checks from that run on the bank when they came up with the flip top head ad. Like, why is it that they do not need to exist anymore? What is a toothbrush?
It's kind of interesting that people saw this ad and were like, oh, I need this. I mean, if they had said, like, it'll clean your teeth, you'll be able to clean your teeth better with this brush, I feel like that would have been an easier sell than you have to get your, if you need to get your back teeth, or, well, you do need to get your back teeth. If you want to reach your back teeth, you need the special toothbrush, because I don't think that many people were having trouble reaching their back teeth, but maybe they could be convinced that they weren't scrubbing them well enough.
It's like, it's demonstrably untrue. You can go into the washroom right now and take your toothbrush and be like, no, that touches my back teeth, just like anything else that I put in my head.
Yeah. Also, the thing with toothbrushes, we used to think that, like, firmer toothbrushes were better, but all we were doing was scraping away our gums.
Oh, man. I also bought into that lie.
Me too. It felt like it was scrubbing better,
it was!
That's probably why I needed a gum graft.
Yeah, here go the first 7 layers of bone.
Yeah.
You're just brushing raw nerve endings.
I mean, for the longest time, I would see dentists and they would say, did you have braces at some point? And I would say, no, my teeth are just naturally straight. And my teeth weren't all that straight, but I didn't ever need braces. And I couldn't figure out why they were asking me other than to be like, yeah, your teeth are straight. It turns out my gums were receding rapidly, and they didn't bother to say that until it was really late, and they just assumed that I had receding gums because I had had braces.
That's not why I asked that, but okay. That's good information you provided.
They didn't provide me with any information.
The more I look back on 90s commercials, the more I am awestruck by the lies we believed. Or the lies we didn't believe. Like, just, we were sold nothing. And the one that springs to mind immediately are those Quiznos commercials. Do you remember the ones with the sponge monkeys?
I didn't watch a lot of TV at any point of my life. Now, if you want to bring up, like, regional radio commercials that you would hear while you were driving, those I would probably remember. But you weren't from my region.
Southtown Ford, South on 35, Allsbury Exit, Fort Worth. Open Sundays.
There you go. I never heard that one.
They used to be, Quiznos used to be considered a competitor with Subway. And now they are all but extinct.
The Quiznos subs! They are tasty, they are crunchy, they are warm because they toasted!
What the fuck is this?
What the fuck is this? It was when Flash Animation became very briefly influential.
No, I can tell it's trying to, like, mimic, like, Homestar Runner.
Yeah.
But they're doing it... They're doing, like, Teen Girl Squad voices on images of, I don't know, fucking what, gerbils or something with human eyes
And here's the worst part. That commercial was not the cause of Quiznos' bankruptcy.
Well, it certainly couldn't have cost a lot to make.
Their cause was corporate greed, shockingly. They forced all their franchisees to buy from the same seller who marked up prices, and so the franchisees didn't make any money, but the corporate did.
And the seller.
Zonin. Poor Quiznos. Because if you played that commercial today, damn.
Yeah, I think that people would be excited. It would be this retro revival thing, and they'd be into it.
Okay, now I've given you a local commercial. What were your most distressing local commercials?
Okay, I didn't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah, it can be a radio ad.
Okay, let me see if I can find one.
Do you remember Joe Isuzu?
I can find the one I'm looking for. I'm never going to find it, but so on the radio when I was driving, there was this restaurant called Jerry's Subs and Pizza, and you had them in like the Delmarva area, and they used to have a Bill Clinton impersonator, and it was not very good, and they used to make off-color jokes about Bill Clinton's infidelities while they were doing it.
From what I'm reading here, the jingle has not changed.
Yeah, it's still like, it's something like, ooh, ooh, Jerry's.
Is this the right jingle?
Well, right now I'm stuck in watching a Liberty Mutual ad. I don't want this ad. I want a different ad. Libbity, bibbity, bibbity.
It's Jerry's. No, no, Jerry's.
It's Jerry's. Ooh, ooh. Jerry's. No, it's Jerry's. New Jerry's. Yeah, I remember that bullshit. But also put Bill Clinton being really obtuse and a horn dog. But it didn't really sound like him, but you could tell what they were trying to go for. Now, that is something I would like to remove from my brain, but can't.
When we are 95 years old and all have Alzheimer's because of, you know, the plastics that now make up 95% of our brain, we will not remember our loved ones' names. We won't remember where we lived, but we will remember Joe Isuzu.
It's Jerry's. New Jerry's.
That is right up there with don't breathe when you're underwater, seek out food, and go towards the light.
Well, the reason I picked this poem is because, as we discussed privately last time, is that I have been having lots of nightmares.
I cannot believe that we did. I didn't even ask that question. I just dove right into whatever bullshit I was going to talk about. Oh, fuck. I'm the worst human being that ever lived. Oh, Jesus Christ. You're having bad dreams. All right, let's talk about the bad dreams.
Well, maybe those, but I also, so for me, I picked it because of bad dreams, and like, I wish I could take the anxieties and fears out of my head, but for this poem, they're talking about taking sins away, and I think as a child, I cared a lot more about my morality than I do as an adult, even though I can do much more terrible things as an adult than I could as a kid. Like, there are things I'm still super ashamed that I did when I was a kid. And they really aren't a big deal.
Wow. No, I'm not ashamed of anything I did as a kid.
I'm like,
well,
really
one thing. Like, oh, if I don't think my sister or something.
Maybe embarrassed. I mean, I don't like not ashamed. Like, there was one time when I like the one of the ones that comes to mind is this time I stole some banana bread from my babysitter and lied about it and made like the most terrible, ridiculous lies. And I don't know why this still embarrasses me to this day.
It's the cringe factor. It's like because you're observing yourself as a third person, being like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
I was like 8. No, I was 9. Mm. I was 9, maybe even 10.
I was raised in the church, and so I at the time was extremely ashamed of everything I did. A long stretch of my life, I thought thinking about the concept of sin was a sin.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, don't think about pink elephants.
I was embarrassed that in fifth grade, I felt ashamed that in fifth grade, I had a crush on a boy who talked about sex. And that was very wrong.
Oh, you are going directly to hell. Talking about sex? Ugh. I remember the first time I ever judged someone for their sexual proclivities. This was it. I remember this like it was yesterday. I was in middle school. This is like maybe sixth or seventh grade. And this guy was, this 12-year-old boy was checking out a girl who had a lot of freckles. And he goes, "Man, I wonder if her tits are freckled. That would turn me off so fast. Freckled tits." And in my head, I just went, "You're wrong."
Good for you.
No. It's like, I'm better than you.
See, that's the right kind of judgment to have.
All of my shames when I was very small were things were not unlike yours, where it's like, you know, I found this thing hot, or, you know, and then Jesus didn't want me wanking, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I think I've become like there's the morality that I grew up with, where, you know, it was the two types of morality. One, the morality that other people put on me, and where they were rules that were set out for me, and also what I myself had decided was right and wrong. And now I'm only left with what I decide is right and wrong for the most part. I mean, there are laws and shit, but for me, it's laws are more of a problem about getting caught than breaking them if they don't fit my personal morality.
And it's funny to think how that will evolve, because, you know, we're all works in progress, and how will your morality 30 years from now compare to your morality today?
My morality today is pretty close to what it was. Like, I still take things like honesty very seriously, but I also don't have the same moral judgments of them, I guess. Like, for me, I take truthfulness seriously, but I also, if I do lie, it's usually because I thought it was a good idea. and I don't really feel very bad about it.
That's what we call a double standard.
Well, I mean, not really, because like I said on another episode, I'm very good at lying because I rarely do it. Because I take truthfulness very seriously, that when I lie, everybody believes it, because I almost never do it.
What would I take out? If I had a flip-top head, what would I take out?
For me, it's mostly anxieties. I just want to get rid of some of these anxieties.
Yeah, I just worry about less shit. I was thinking about like all the stuff I was worried about today, and how ultimately none of it is going to matter, and I just can't turn that off.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess that's why THC is legal.
Honestly, as a kid, though, too, I think I would like to take away the anxieties. Like, I was worried about sinning when I was a kid, and I don't think I should have, like, gotten necessarily away with the sins. I should have gotten rid of the, like, feeling upset about them.
It's like, when I was a kid, I didn't know the concept of anxiety. I don't think I was exposed to that until I was an adult. And then I look back on my life and it's like, oh, I wonder why I got shingles in the seventh grade. It's like, well, that was definitely a physiologic response.
I was a precocious panic attacker.
Yeah. Well, do you have any uplifting thoughts for our listeners?
I mean, my cat caught a mouse out of thin air. That was great.